Beyond the Mic with Sean Dillon.
We're joined on the star line by an artist with 10 number one singles, 27 top 40 hits, and 25 years of love and success on the 25 Years of Paradise tour right now. We welcome Phil Vassar.
Good morning. How you doing?
Absolutely great, Phil. Let's go Beyond the Mic. You started off writing hits for others. Little Red Rodeo, right on the money, yeah. Among countless hits. Then you signed your own record deal
right.
In 1998. How has writing and performing music all these years changed you?
Well, you know, it's like I always played. You know, I had my own bar in Nashville way back in the day. So, I mean, I loved, you know, being a piano player, it's a little different, of course, right? You know, so it's not, you can't just lug a piano around, you know, and go to bar to bar. It's a little heavy. Anyway, I got stronger doing that, but it was just a different time, you know. I've had a bunch of hits for, you know, Alan Jackson, McGraw, and all these people. They just still wouldn't. They're like, man, you're a piano player. I'm like, Randy Millsap's had 48 number one hit. It works. You know, I'm telling you, Elton John's done well. Billy Joel. There's a lot of people. So anyway, it was hard.
When people see you on tour, what do you want them to feel?
Well, I want them to be uplifted and happy. You know, I mean, it's a fun show. We just have a great band. We've been together a long time, and I just love to play my songs, play music, and it'll be fun to get back to Texas because it's been a few years, you know. So I'm excited about that. There's a lot of great musicians down there.
Your set list changes nightly. How do you put one together?
That's a good question. You know, it's just we just kind of go. You know, we kind of feel out what we think we're going to have, what the audience is going to be like, you know, and sometimes we, you know, had a lot of songs. So you just kind of, sometimes you just pull them out, pull different songs out. People will request, you know, different things off of different records. So you just try to, you know, kind of be prepared for that. That's a good thing. So it keeps it interesting. You do the same set every night and then it just kind of becomes mundane or something, you know?
Is there one you love and people say, come on, Phil, give it a day off?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's really not. I mean, I'm at this point, you know, you're really grateful for the songs that were hits and for songs that people want to hear, you know? I mean, you try to do all of them if you can. You know, when we get there, we try to stay as long as everybody wants us to play, you know? We start turning the lights off and on, I guess you're done. But, you know, I love taking requests, though. It's fun and hoping I can remember everything I wrote, you know.
Phil, you've written songs in under 20 minutes, but they all have your signature style of crafting a story that people can relate to.
Yeah.
How has the way you write music changed from the 90s to today?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I really try not to follow trends and people write about this or that. It's like every song's about a truck or, you know, something. You know, Nashville goes through that, you know, and I just try to do what I like to do, you know, write songs about life and real life, you know, like my heroes did, you know, like Christopherson and Willie Nelson and people like, I mean, stuff like that, you know, you just always kind of go back to that and the stuff you grew up on. I think that's what keeps it real, you know?
He's on the 25 Years of Paradise tour right now. We welcome Phil Vassar for the Rocking Eight, Phil. All this is 8 random questions. Answer with the first thing that comes to your mind. There's absolutely no pressure.
Oh, boy.
Phil, where's your favorite place to hold the concert?
Oh, I don't know, my barn. I don't know. I love playing in my barn.
Which song of yours didn't get the love you thought it should have?
Probably a song called Postmark Birmingham. I was just talking about this the other day.
Why?
It just never was. My friend from Blackhawk recorded that song, and maybe it wasn't produced well, or so. It was very overproduced, I think, maybe. But, you know, it just never was a hit, you know?
What's the one comfort item you have to have when heading out on tour?
Right now, blankets. But it's because it's so cold. But, you know, always coffee, you know, I don't drink too much coffee anymore. I used to drink about 3 pots a day, but I just like to, you know, have a good cup of coffee and it just makes me feel good. That's comfortable, usually.
It's cold out there. How do you drink your morning coffee?
Well, I usually just drink it black or with a little coconut milk in it, you know, that's what I do. Yeah, because I can't drink milk, you know, so I didn't know until several years back, and it just made me sick.
Phil, what was the first piano you ever bought, and do you still have it?
Wow. You know, some of those, there were Yamaha electric pianos. They were very heavy. I still have them in a warehouse somewhere, and tell you what, I used to carry those things in my, I had a truck, and I would go to gigs in Nashville and take them from club to club. That thing weighs 300 pounds.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It was something, man. It was something. I think I had to work out every day just to be able to do that, but it's, I'm working on my guitar, so I don't have to carry those things, anymore, but I always just loved the piano, I just always loved the, sitting down, and I felt very comfortable sitting there, talking to the audience,
Are you nearsighted or farsighted?
At this point, probably both.
Same.
At this point, I'm Ray Charles almost. This is what it is, but.
Wow. Absolutely the same. My optometrist keeps pushing me for readers.
I can read really well. Read close up, I can see very, very good. But man, it's just, you get about 5 or 6 feet from me, it's like blur. It happens, I suppose. I guess that's what happens. We just, you get older, and that's okay, man. Willie Nelson's my hero, man. He's 90 freaking years old, and he's still jamming. I love it.
Your grandfather died in World War II. What does freedom mean to you?
Well, it's something I just never take for granted. I've been very blessed to, grow up. My dad was a Marine, and my grandfather, of course, died in World War II. And it's just I never stop thinking about things like that. I just, we're very blessed to be around today. And I kind of get a little bit irritated when, people mess with our country, that we've come a long way. And it goes through different incarnations and changes, but man, that's the one thing that we can hang our hats on is, that flag and being able to be free, it's important.
Amen to that. What's the best thing about being a girl dad, Phil? And what's the one lesson you want your daughters to take from your life?
Well, my daughters are definitely smarter than me. So that's very good. I'm very thankful and very grateful for that. But I tell you one thing, it's, we've just gotten closer and closer. And I just want them to never count on, I always tell them, don't ever count on a man. Count on yourself, educate yourself, do your thing, and be strong, be a strong woman, and that's what I tell them all the time. But, of course, I'm their dad. So I just wanted to be able to survive in society. You really do. It's just, but anyway, I love powerful women, and I'm surrounded by them. My dad he died young, and it was me, my mom and my sisters and my nieces, me and my daughters. It's all girls. Mom, it's girls all the time. Estrogen.
Exactly. Because you become a better man because of it.
You're exactly right. There's no doubt about that. That's a fact. And I never take it for granted.
Phil Vassar joins us Beyond the Mic for the back half. Phil, you've been mentoring emerging songwriters. What's the biggest thing new songwriters struggle with?
Well, I just think that, I always tell songwriters to never follow trends. I don't know. I think kind of do what you do, and that's how you write something different, The one thing about that always Nashville always bothered me was everybody gets on a theme and just writes the crap out of it, they overdo it, it seems like, and then you can't really stand apart when you write something like everybody else, So you try to write things a little different. And I think that's good, pretty good advice. I've been mentored by the best songwriters and talked to the best songwriters ever, Kris Kristofferson and some of those guys that I met when I was very young. And they were very, 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 supportive. They said, they pushed me along. I said, look, man, they're not gonna like everything you do. And especially if you're a little different, they're not gonna. And it took me a while though, you know, it really did. And, you know, having these guys support you and, you know, pick you up when you, like Dobie Gray, people like that, you know, I mean, I'm going way back, you know, I mean, Dobie was like, man, you're very soulful and you do just do your thing, man. I love it. I still sing Drift Away, you know, what a great song, right?
Oh, Dobie Gray, what a powerful songwriter.
Man, you're not kidding. I mean, it was just unbelievable. I mean, just to get to, anyway, just to be in his presence. And I learned a lot from, I learned a lot about resilience and stepping up and, you know, not believing what everybody, I mean, I've been told so many times by people in Nashville, this song's terrible. Nobody will ever record it. And you know what, once the people heard it, it was a big hit, you know, and you finally just got to stop listening to those voices, the negative voices, and just believe in what you believe in and follow that trail, you know. It just, otherwise you're just going to be just like everybody else.
Nashville tends to beat things to death.
That's exactly what they do. It's exactly what they do. I mean, and you know, it's just, I think a lot of it was just, you know, when everything started, I mean, there used to be like real radio stations, like, you know, back in, before all the people bought up a million stations and then had played the same song. And, you know, that's what I really love about, you know, Red Dirt stuff, Texas stuff. It's, you know, you can write whatever you want. And if it's great and if it means something to those folks, you play it and hear it, you know, and, you know, you don't really get to do that in a lot of places. Hopefully it's changing you know, you guys can know way more about it than I do. You know, you just kind of, you know, you try to write something different, something cool, and you sort of get chastised for it, you know? That's the way it is, I guess.
Never challenge being different. That's the only way to grow.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I think if more people lived by that, you know, especially artistically, then boy, I mean, who knows what we could do, but, you know, but we'll see. Things change, I guess.
Why is mentoring songwriters important to you?
Well, I think it's, to me, it means so much because I was mentored, you know, by great, great songwriters when I moved to Nashville in the 80s, right? I was going, holy smoke, you know, I got out of school and I moved. Everybody was like, man, Nashville's a place you got to go, man. I mean, there's some great songwriters. And I think, you know, there were never a shortage of folks that were willing to take you under their wings and teach you what they, you know, guys like Dean Dillon and Linda Hargrove, like Tennessee Whiskey. You think about songs like that. I was like, holy smoke, you know, what a great song. And I tell you what, George Jones was always a really big supporter of course, of writers. He didn't write, but he loved songwriters and he gave great advice too. And he would always, anytime I had a song, come play it for me, you know? And I mean, you know, that's the kind of support you love. And people are a little aloof now these days. It seems like, you know, they're scared to let people, you know, play things for them or, you know, I don't know. I guess it's just, I guess sort of the labels and they sort of took control of everybody and they put, you know, they wanted their thumb on them, you know?
Who's the one person that helped you and guided you along your musical career the most?
Well, I'd have to say a man named Charlie Black, and you talk about Hall of Fame songwriter and Rory Burke, who, these are guys are, I've lost so many of them, and Rory's 83 or 84 now. And, you know, these guys were just, so supportive, and you know, they'd say, well, you know what, and I'd write with them, and they did understand, I'm different, you know, I'm young, and they really embraced that instead of no, you can't do that, this is, you know, it was very, very encouraging, and I really appreciated that. You know,
everyone talks about their dream show, playing the Grand Ole Opry or some big arena show. Right. But was there ever a show you played for less than 50 people? And how does that change the way you perform in such an intimate setting?
You know, I love it. I love that way you could just kind of, you can really, really, you have a captive audience when you're so close like that. You know, whenever you're playing for, you know, 30,000 people or whatever it is, they're drinking and screaming or whatever. And that's fun too, right? But man, when you're in an intimate setting and you're just sitting there with your instrument, that they're my favorite shows I've ever seen. You know, Billy Joel like that, or James Taylor like that, you know, or just, you know, Christofferson like that. I mean, I'm thinking some of these shows that and Lyle Lovett, who I love. And I mean, it's just really inspired me, man. Kevin Welch and some of these guys. I mean, I really, you know, you soak it in. You really do. You really absorb that. And I'm really grateful for those experiences, and I learned a lot from that. And I really do love playing in an intimate setting like that.
What was the last show you went, not to play, but to watch?
Well, the last show I went to was Billy Joel.
Oh, wow.
He did the stadium in Nashville, and actually he, and him and Stevie Nicks. And it was just amazing. You know, of course, I saw Billy Joel for the first time in 77 or something like that. You know, as a kid, you know, I was just always eaten up with the ability to be able to play piano like that. And Elton John, I've gotten to meet Elton and sit in a room and, you know, just some of the stuff that you think back and that I've gotten to do and that you do over the course of your career and your life. And it's pretty amazing stuff. You know, play me a song. Elton John's asking me to play him a song. So that's pretty cool stuff. You know, when you're sitting in a room like that, I'll never take that for granted. I appreciate it. You know, I really do. I look back with great fondness.
You said, quote, if a song sparks a reaction, that's all you're looking for, unquote.
That's exactly right. You know, if it's fun or if it's makes you cry or it makes you laugh. And that's, if it appeals to your senses in some way, then I think you've kind of succeeded in that, you know?
Phil, what do you want people to remember from your incredible career in music?
You know, that they were moved or something. That they saw my show and they were like, man, I really love the songs, or I love, you know, he was a cool guy. I always try to, you know, I always love meeting the folks too. I really like that. And you know, getting to do that really goes a long way for me, because you get to meet the people that listen to your songs and listen to your music, you know, and I think that goes a long way for me, you know, it really does.
So who impresses you in music right now?
You know what? It's really cool because my daughter's, you know, she's 26 and she'll bring me some stuff sometimes and it's like, wow, this is really good. Or a song, you know, pop, country, whatever it is, you know, she just does. And
why has music touched your soul, Phil?
Why? You know, it's hard. It's unexplainable almost. I just think when you listen to something, I mean, I've listened to music that's just stopped me in my tracks. I mean, Tori Amos, I remember hearing a song Tori Amos did, and I Can't Make You Love Me when Bonnie Raitt recorded that song. I remember just stopping over and weeping because, I mean, you know, it captures something maybe you've gone through or you're going through, and it just rips your guts out. That's what's amazing about music, and nothing else can do that really, you know, except maybe a movie or something you can look, but a song is magic when it does the right thing, right?
Definitely. It's time for One Big Question with Phil Vassar, Beyond the Mic. Phil, you suffered a heart attack in 2023, mm-hmm. and your outlook on life completely changed. How is your love of every single mm-hmm. moment, sunrise, sunset, mm-hmm. hug of a family member, been enhanced?
Well, you know, there's nothing, you know, a little back note. I wasn't a drinker, never did a drug in my life. I worked out every day. I tried to stay healthy and drop dead. You know, I had genetic heart disease, right? But I miss so much, you know, and I never want to miss another moment. It makes me so cognizant of the fact that time is finite, you know, and I think that's what what I've learned more than anything. I just really, really am very appreciative of every moment I have left, right? And I don't know, I don't know. It's made me more thankful, and it's made me probably more gracious. And there's some real good stuff that came out of that, right? You know, whether it was horrible, and it was, but it was, but I do feel like a different person, and I feel better. You know, I feel like a better person. I'm appreciative that I went through that, because it took dying to really, you know, let me live again, right? You know?
He misses Dobie Gray, drinks his coffee with a little coconut milk, and wants you to see the On the 25 Years of Paradise Tour. Phil Vassar, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Oh, are you kidding me? Thank you. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
And that, my friends, is Beyond the Mic.
If you're enjoying these conversations, please check out another Beyond the Mic episode to find more actors, artists, and people you need to know. We'd also appreciate a like and subscribe on the Good Pods app.